Hey guys, welcome back to the Chase the Unknown podcast. My name is Roger Sisk, one of your hosts here on CTU, alongside my co-host Trinity Dobbs. Just on a quick side note before we get started, you may notice that today's podcast sounds a little different than it usually does. And the reasoning being for that is that we're doing our absolute best just to not only provide a podcast that's quality for you guys, but that's also sustainable, meaning that we can record a podcast from anywhere. We don't have to be grounded into a studio. With that being said, today we have Mr. Mark Weiss on the podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I am Mark Weiss. I own a restaurant here in Fayetteville, Georgia, Torta Italy Restaurant. We specialize in New York-style pizzas.
And it's very good.
It is very good, by the way.
Go get some.
Yes.
It is rapidly becoming one of my favorite places in town. It's been fun working with, I've never owned a restaurant. So just over a couple years ago, I found myself buying a restaurant. It's like, now what?
So how did you get to the restaurant? I know from marketing, you thought your dream was marketing, and then all of a sudden you bought a restaurant, and now that's become.
It's an evolutionary process too. I mean, when I was a teenager, I just wanted to make the football team.
Yeah.
All right. Then I made the football team, but you know, I rode the bench almost my whole junior year, which sucked. Yeah. Practiced every day, hardly ever played. Mm-hmm. Started my senior year. Wow. You know, my first job, I went to college and I interviewed. So, made it through the interview process, and the hiring manager wanted to interview me, so the last part of it was having lunch with his boss. And after lunch, he said, I don't feel like hiring a guy. If you want to hire him, fire him. But I would, I mean, if you wanted to hire him.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It's your call.
Well, but it was one of those things. I wasn't, this guy was a little bit more old school, you know, would be drinking at lunch and would tell him dirty jokes in his office. And that was some old school stuff. I was a bit new school coming out of school. And this guy didn't like hiring people out of college. He goes, I want people with experience.
Yeah, totally.
And I got promoted a year later, then I got promoted again. But I have several letters stuck in my files from this guy who said, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. He goes, I never would have hired you. And I'm so glad we did. You know, and this was, you know, 30 years ago I got these letters.
Yeah.
And so it's, like I said, things evolve over time. I mean, it's, you know, I wanted to have kids. Well, now I have grandkids. So.
Yeah.
Totally.
So yeah, if your dreams don't change, I got a question. Are you paying attention? Are you really?
Exactly.
Are you? Are you paying attention to life?
Yeah.
Because if you're going on a trip, you don't know, you know, okay, bridge out. Or man, they now have a bridge over the lake. We used to have to drive all the way around the lake. It took us an hour and a half. Now we can get there in 15 minutes. Yeah. I don't mind paying a toll. I mean, that's a metaphor for life.
Right,
man,
right.
If I can go here and take, it may cost me a little bit more. It may cost me time, money, effort, or take a different path. But yeah, I was with a Fortune 50 company in marketing sales management for 31 years. And you know, how to get in the restaurant business? It happened. You know, it'd take an hour to explain that convoluted process. But my career ended with that company. It's like, now what do I do? I think one of the reasons, and as you get to know me a little bit better, one of the reasons deep down in the core that I really wouldn't admit is so many people said, why would you go in the restaurant business? It's hard. It's complicated. You know, people steal from you. It's a really difficult business. You have no life. You work all the time. And these were people that hadn't been in the restaurant business. But of course, they knew more than I did. So deep down, there's part of me that wanted to thumb my nose to the rest of the world and go, I can do this. I can do this, and I will do it. And there were other variables. That wasn't the driving force, but that was kind of that was a little bit of an accessory to my whole decision. I can do this.
Yeah, I know, because as someone who's worked in the restaurant industry, I worked there for 8.5 years. I started in high school and worked multiple fast food restaurants and retail stores from the time I was 16 till I was 24.
Wow.
Just consistently in restaurant. And I'm just like, it's harder than people think it is. But at the same time, it's not impossible.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know more about the restaurant business than I do because you've been in it longer than I have.
I've worked multiple corporate. I've worked like I've mentioned on the podcast before, I've worked at Chick-fil-A, I've worked at McDonald's, I worked at Little Caesars, I worked at I've worked Bath and Body, I've worked TJ Maxx.
Wow, like, you really do have a
like. I'm not kidding. I have a legit like resume.
There. We should change places.
I have a legit
turning you on the restaurant. Well,
and then my sister also has worked multiple. She worked Starbucks on her college campus, and she's worked at like a local restaurant back in my hometown and like little places like that. So just the two of us alone have worked nothing but fast food for multiple years.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting business from both the management side of it and then the, you know, the waiter side of it as well. Because I've done drive-thrus and I've done waitressing as well.
Well, there's some sexy part about a restaurant business. You know, being out with the customers and interacting and people come in every day. Hey, you know, that's the fun part. Yeah. That's the exciting part. Mm-hmm. Some people that go in a restaurant business are not very good business people. Mm-hmm. They're great at food. They love making food, but the business part of it will trip them.
Throws
up.
Them, yeah.
As much as I love food, I've grown up with food. I'm Italian. You know, in a couple of days it'll be Thanksgiving. We're gonna have 24 people at my mom's house with a big spread of food because that's what we do. And I've tried to bring some of that to my restaurant. But the stuff, the other part of the restaurant business, the stuff that keeps the kind of the equivalent of rotating the tires. Changing the oil,
maintenance of it,
you know, tightening the fan belt. That's the kind of stuff that, the stuff that people don't see.
That's the exact
but if you thing. Don't do it, man, the business will fall apart.
Oh, exactly.
And the machine can't run when those pieces are not
maintained. Care of
mm-hmm. Exactly.
Done. Which I can completely understand. Been there. I've seen both sides of it as well. So So you said that both. You got told that you couldn't do it, and that's pretty much the reason why you did it.
No, let's not overplay that.
Put it in a corner.
The opportunity. I've been in Fayette County. I moved here 23 years ago. Raised my kids here. Wow. I like this town. I'm an empty nester. The kids are out.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too young to retire, but too old to know better. I still need to stay busy.
Yeah.
So I thought the idea of owning a small business or two in town, whatever it was, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's a lot of good consultants out there. When I left my corporate job, I had a great exit package, and they gave me some coaches, some business coaches. If I wanted to retire, they could coach me. If I wanted to go back into the corporate world, and they opened up a lot of opportunities. And even though, over the years I've been coached and stuff, I had a 2-hour interview and filled out 220 questions.
Wow.
And then she, and this was somebody, again, I know myself pretty well. I've been around myself for quite a long time. And really long time. I was born a young child and I've known myself ever since.
Fair. Fair statement.
But it was interesting. She provided a 14-page printout of kind of me. Yeah. From the outside looking in and the types of businesses that might align better to my skill set, the way I think, the way I view things. It was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
And it eliminated some opportunities, some potential opportunities, but it opened my eyes to some others. So that, as old as I am, experienced I am, it's great to have resources.
Yeah.
And the older I get, more I realize there's so much I don't know. And I still have a thirst for knowledge and an intellectual curiosity about how things work and what could happen with something.
Totally. That's going to be super fascinating because I've actually never heard of that even being a thing in terms of, hey, here's this document. It's basically you on paper. Like, does this resonate with you? And that's, I can only imagine that's got to be a kind of a mind explosion moment for you to be like, whoa, like, this is me. Like,
Well, but it's not the first time. All the years of corporate training we do, Myers-Briggs tests.
Oh, yeah.
All types of personality tests, leadership styles.
Mm-hmm.
So both, I was a salesperson, I was a sales rep, salesperson, people manager, process manager. Yeah. And each of those steps was more training.
Yeah.
So I've had feedback on myself. Every year I'd get feedback from my peers, my bosses, and my subordinates.
Yeah.
So there's constant feedback, or that has been, and things I do well, and things I've got some blind spots.
don't fool us. You got a few blind spots, but hey,
But the interesting thing is, you know, it's again, when you're working for an entity, somebody else, they pay you. It's an interesting philosophy or phenomenon. Mm-hmm. They rent your energies. They rent your efforts, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They pay you in return for behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I've had a boss tell me once, I don't care how you think, as long as you act the way we want you to act. Mm-hmm. Now, it'd be better. I think you'd act better if you think positively about what we're working on.
Right.
But I'm just paying, I'm renting your behavior.
Yeah. And I go, I'm renting your existence. I'm renting your hands and
I
your brain.
I hadn't actually thought of it that way, but it's so accurate. Yeah.
So, and in exchange for whatever compensation they pay you,
yeah.
Or compensation can come in a lot of forms. You know, they can be an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true.
But so yeah, that's it. That's a good life lesson to learn is when you're working for somebody and with somebody, there's a certain behavior that's expected, and it's paid for. And if it doesn't happen, then you could either part ways. You could choose to leave and find a greener pasture, or they could say, "Hey, we're going a different direction without your services."
Yeah,
you know, thank you. No more paychecks are coming, and you don't have to show up at work anymore.
Thank you. Bye.
So how different is it from working for somebody else to working for yourself?
What was that transition like?
Yeah.
It was interesting because my oldest son, who's 30 now, asked me a couple years ago, after a month or two, he goes, what's the biggest difference between working for corporate America, working for yourself? It was an easy thing. Decision making. Boom. You can make a decision quickly. And I like the idea of being able to make a decision. In corporate America, you have meetings to plan meetings, to schedule meetings, to stand for planning sessions for meetings. It's very laborious. Yeah. And there's a lot of consensus that needs to be brought together. I'm still a consensus person, but I've got a staff of 18. You know, at the time when I took over, I had a staff of 8 or 9. But you know what? I could sit down, get their insights, talk to customers. But if I want to make a decision, boom, I make it.
Yeah.
Right. I want to order some equipment, I order equipment. I want to change a menu. I want to test something that night. I could do it without having to. And I love being able to pivot quickly. And if I learn something, I could implement it. If I learned it was not good, I didn't make too many mistakes, but I put some items on the menu that were good, put some items on the menu that were great. In a restaurant, you get pretty quick feedback. People like it, they'll tell you. If they don't like it, they'll tell you.
Exactly.
If it's priced too low, they'll say, this is a very good price. They won't say it's too cheap. If it's priced too high, they'll go, that's too much. So they'll let you know real quickly. So if you're paying attention, you can adapt quickly.
Yeah.
But then, you know, then a year and a half into it, this pandemic showed up.
That's interesting. Wow. Yeah. How has that affected not only your life, but the life of your business, essentially?
Okay, well, look left and look right. We've all been impacted, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything about our life has been impacted by this pandemic. Totally.
Right.
All the way from, you know, our elected officials don't really know. The CDC, the WHO, they don't really know what to do. They're kind of winging it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're really smart people and they're educated people. And this is novel. So, you know, trickle down to those of us scurrying around doing everyday lives, right? What we do. Certainly the restaurant business, there have been demands put on the restaurant business that have never been there before. You know, cleanliness has always been.
That's
a high priority.
Yeah.
Well, now it's, you know, put that on steroids. And it's like, wow. So, you know, we had to shut down the inside of the restaurant for a while, pickup only. I never did shut down the entire restaurant, but we had to go to a skeleton crew. I had people coming to me going, I have to have shifts. What do you mean I have to have shifts? Then I had to understand the motivation of some of my staff. You know, I said, are you putting yourself possibly in harm's way because you need the money? Well, I got kids to feed. I got mouths to feed. I got car payments to pay. And that was very real. I mean, it's very real where people go, I can't have my hours cut. But guess what? They were cut. But I didn't let anybody go. It was harder for a while. I had a, you know, we were losing money. I probably could have saved money by shutting down for 6 weeks. But that was a decision I made. Hey, I'm in this. We have very loyal customers. I have very loyal staff. So at some point in time as a business owner, you got to say, I'm going to take this hit, believing that if we continue, it's like a pilot driving through, you know, flying through turbulence.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
I got to trust my instruments. I got to trust my sense. I just have to trust it. And if I go mm-hmm. about it the right way, whatever the right way is, we'll get out of this turbulence.
Yeah.
And if we get through this turbulence, we'll all be okay. We'll land the plane. We'll high five. Now, sometimes it scared the crap out of me. Was I going to run this thing into the side of a mountain because I can't see it? Mm-hmm. You know, was I going to put my staff in harm's way, my customers harm's way, myself in harm's way? Mm. There were sleepless nights going, what do I do? What do I do? You know, I don't want to be too graphic, but it could be a life or death decision, or it certainly could be somebody could be very, very sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And make other people sick just because they wanted to come get a pizza. So anyway, that's a little bit in the rearview mirror. We've navigated several months of that. I've learned a lot from the process. I've learned to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Control what I can control. When in doubt, be conservative with what we're doing.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, just don't panic.
Don't panic, because at the end of the day, you know, everything's going to be okay. Everything's
going to be okay. You got to believe everything's going
to
be okay.
But even if it's not going to, you got to believe everything's going to be okay. Yeah.
You know what? It's like a football team. It's like the Patriots are down 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they believe at halftime. They believed, and we all know how that
don't
ended.
Bring up that painful memory.
Well, hey, what happened? Did the Falcons lose it, or did the Patriots win it? You got to tip your hat to the Patriots, and said they were far behind when you could have folded.
Yeah,
you could have folded up, and no, I didn't fold. You kept fighting back. You know, as a Falcons fan, it's a terrible analogy.
Yeah,
but there's something to that.
Totally, yeah.
Something to that. Uh-huh. They stayed positive. They chipped away little by little by little by little.
Yeah, you've got to give their football program props, you know, that they were able to do that. They were able to come back for that victory. As much as we hated as Falcons fans here in Atlanta, it's, hey, you got to give them props, you know.
All right, enough of that. We can table that. let's get back to pizza.
Back to the pizza.
I'm not that much of a fan of the Patriots, all right?
Back to the pizza.
Oh, goodness. Oh, but, lucky I know who the Patriots are. So
you know, it's and the other thing is when you getting back to taking over this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a vendor in my former world. I've been a vendor. Mm-hmm. I've had vendors. So vendor relationships are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
I had vendors, again, that knew more about the business than I did. So I asked them. I asked my food vendors. I asked my, you know, beverage vendors.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? What do you know, what can you bring to me? This is a very... it's a very important question when you're doing business with somebody. What can you bring to me that I don't know?
Yeah.
If you're an expert or knowledgeable in your business, that means you don't know stuff I do. You mm-hmm. become a more valuable vendor if you bring some added value. Mm-hmm. In this case, the knowledge they brought to me, and I'm very loyal to my vendors, especially ones that helped me like that. And I had some fabulous vendors that helped me, pulled me aside and said, oh, this is how things work. This is, you know... Here's some opportunities to, you know, just, I can't even name them all now. Yeah. My staff, too.
Yeah.
One of the things I asked my staff, what do you need to do your job? And what do you need to do it well?
Yeah.
And I had staff go, nobody's ever asked me that before. Really? Nobody's asked you, what do you need to do your job and do it well? No. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm asking you now. I don't know how to answer that. Okay, I'm going to ask again, what do you need to do your job? And usually it was something small. It was something simple.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need something magnificent. You know, sometimes it was as easy as, you know, if somebody wants extra cheese on their pizza, I got to go to a whole nother screen. What do you mean you have to go to a whole nother screen? We're a pizza place. You can't get extra cheese? Yeah, we can, but it's another screen. I said, talk to my vendor. I learned how to move the buttons on the screen. Guess what? Couple of keystrokes. Now we have extra cheese button on the cheese pizza.
Yeah.
And they looked at me and said, that's fabulous. Thank you. You saved me like 60 seconds every time I place an order.
Yeah.
And then that fed off itself. Now, the more I asked, they said, well, you know what? This is kind of cumbersome.
Yeah.
Or I say, why do you do that? We've always done it that way. Well, what if you do it this way, this way, this way? Really? I got a button for that. That became my...
Right? I got a button for that.
That became my mantra. I got a button for that.
It's the instead of the, there's an app for that.
That there's a button for that.
I got a button for that.
So I learned how to program.
Version, yeah.
I think I found the t-shirt that I'm going to get marked for Christmas.
There's a button for that.
There's a button for that. So anyway, but if you know, now it hardly a week goes by where my staff doesn't say, you know, somebody asked for... More and more people are asking for extra, you know, chicken on a salad.
Mm-hmm.
I got a button for that. So
I got a button for that.
There you
give
go.
Me a few minutes, you know, 5 minutes later. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's there. That's awesome. So, again, if you can make processes more efficient for the people that work for you, whether you're paying them or working with them, then all of a sudden it's like, wow, thanks for bringing that to the table to help me do my job better or my team do it better or faster or cheaper.
And I think that's even part of, you know, just valuing your employees, you know, not only valuing, like, not only not doing the thing that we were talking about earlier, you know, in terms of just running their body or just running their, you know, it sounds weird to say like that, but running them to work, you know, it's you're actually taking interest in them as a human, you know, and just the way that I've seen you not only interact with not only your staff, but with your guests, you know, I feel like you really do have quite an incredible value for people too.
It's you can't fake genuineness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over time, we'll have our facades that we put on, right? And sometimes when we're having a frowny face day, we'll put the smile on and just manage through the day.
Yeah.
But sooner or later, that's going to come out. I do enjoy the interaction with people. And I enjoy people coming in. You know, think about it. You come into a restaurant, you're usually in a pretty good mood anyway, right? You're going out to eat. Wow, that's kind of nice. You're not cooking at home, you know. And then when you leave, if your meal and service was good, you leave in a better mood. You know, it's not like I'm in the lost baggage at Delta Airlines or something where all day long people are, or the credit card company trying to collect, you know, all day long where it's going to be so negative. It's actually very, very positive, which makes it a little bit easier. I could not be the person on the other side of the lost bag line at the airlines.
That's a whole other story. That takes a special person to be able to do that job.
It does.
It would. So, but you know, if I ever had a role like that, I would probably do it well and be as sympathetic and empathetic, but
as possible. Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have to do that for a living.
That's fair.
That's
so what do you say would be your favorite part of owning?
By far the interactions with the people, just sitting down and it's my oasis. Usually I'm in meetings during the day, maybe some caterings at lunch, but pretty much every evening I like being there. I can settle down. Yes, I'll have a glass of wine and talk to Cabral. I'll touch every table. Now it's expected. It's funny. Somebody will wave me over and said, I've been here 15 minutes. You haven't talked. Well, yeah, no, it's a full restaurant. Wait your turn. You know, I'm getting there, but you know,
I'll get you. But
there are people that, you know, wave from across. If I'm not in the restaurant, I'll get a text.
Yeah.
Or I'll get a note. Like, where were you? You're never here anymore.
I came in on Friday night and one of the waitresses was like, are you here to see Mark? I'm like, he told me he was going to be here. I don't know if he'll be here or not, but he said he was going his way. So I'm not worried about it. So I made sure they didn't like bother you because I knew you were doing something.
I've tried to preach that not only to myself, but, you know, again, if I can make this restaurant an oasis, we all have, we all have things in life that are challenging. Even the rote ones that are just every day, you know, the boring stuff we have to do just to exist. Exactly. But we all have that emotional U-Haul we're toting behind. And sometimes it's a tractor truck. Sometimes it's a tandem trailer. You know, we're all toting stuff behind us. Whatever it is, big, little, and it changes. But I try to tell myself. So I've had some challenges in life. We won't get into them today. But some things that, you know, sometimes you just don't want to wake up. It's going to be a frowny face day, and there's going to be that dark cloud hanging over. You just got kicked in the face, and you still got to get up and smile. It's like, no, I want to kick some, but you don't get to kick somebody else literally back and or figuratively. So
that's where punching bags come into play.
But if you can come into our restaurant over there toward Italy, unhitch that emotional U-Haul you're toting around and all the worldly cares outside and come in. I do not put news. You know, what do I have? 6, 7, 8 big screens in there. News is on there. Even election night, I didn't have the news on there. We'll find out about it later. We'll have sports. We'll have some cooking shows. You know, sometimes Monsters, Inc. will come on. A Pixar movie comes on. That corner, I'll find me in a corner watching Monsters, Inc. or Cars. All right.
Hey, I'm down for that. I am all for watching Cars.
And I think people appreciate that because I will not only do it myself, I'll tell people. We're also directly across from a hospital. So sometimes people come in, hey, we're having a baby, or friends are having a baby, and wife had a baby. And sometimes it's like, wow, you know, somebody's in there with not the best story. Something is more sad news. And you can kind of sense it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There are people that have walked in. I said, they sat in the corner kind of hanging their head. I called them up to the bar. And I said, hey, sit down. I said, not to be, you know, judgmental or anything, you look like you could use a glass of wine. I'm going to choke up telling the story now. She goes, yeah, my husband has stage 4 liver cancer. Guess what? He not only survived, they, you know, so anyway, but I did. I poured her a glass of wine and a couple mm-hmm. friends, you know, support. And she goes, and we were about to close. We're, you know, it was 9:30 at night. We're getting ready to close. Mm-hmm. And they sat around for about an hour and they said, golly, we needed this. Yeah. And she came back the next day. And then her husband got out of the hospital a couple weeks later. Then she brought him in there. And that was a pretty cool story. Now they pop in every once in a while. Yeah. I'll always remember what you did that night. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
You have the opportunity to make an impact on people, you know?
Yeah.
Where, you know, you could look at it as just a small bit or as a business, or you could look at it as it's just a small thing you do, you know, but you really do have such an, not only an impact, but an opportunity to have that impact, right? Especially since where you are.
Yeah. And we all can. Come on. Yeah. The people we meet every day, we can be a little bit of an angel to people that we run into.
Absolutely.
You know, I was in the resident FedEx yesterday dropping something off and there were two lines going to the register mm-hmm. and like, you know, there was two people in this line and one in this line. So anyway, I stood in the other line and then this line moved and the lady goes, and she actually walked behind me thinking she was in the wrong line. You're not walking behind me, you know, there's your rightful spot in this order was right there. And she looked at me, she said, thank you. I go, that's the way it should be. Anybody that would let that little lady stand behind him, I want to meet them and smack them upside the head.
Fair enough.
No, but we can all do the. I think if we live our lives doing those nice little things. Yes, I'm in a position in a restaurant, but sometimes just being nice to somebody can really brighten up the day.
When I worked at McDonald's, the one code or motto that they had was to always smile because you never know when it's going to change somebody else's day. It could even save their life.
Yeah.
And which was something that, like, everybody gives, you know, McDonald's a bad rap or whatever. But when I read that and when I heard that's what they were teaching their staff to do, that's something I admire about them.
It's a very successful organization.
It is
it has been for a long time and it will be for a long time.
I mean, I started working there in high school. So I worked there for 3 years in high school. And that was the one thing. And you never knew when somebody was going through. And you would be surprised at some of the people who would come back every day just because you smiled at them.
Yeah.
Have you ever been taught to smile when you're talking on the phone?
Mm-mm.
And not just in a restaurant, actually, in the business world, we talked about this. It is amazing. If you smile talking on the phone, it actually comes across like you're smiling.
Interesting.
And anybody listening to this, try it. When you're talking on the phone, smile and just see how those positive vibes just work through the phone, hit the other person. Your voice inflection, it'll be subconscious to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But it works.
Interesting. And that's fascinating.
It does work in a restaurant too, because you take phone calls, but in any other type of conversation. I've had some, I think the Comcast people told me I owed them $1,000 for not returning some equipment. That was a couple years ago. And I said, let's tell you what. I tried to smile on that side of it, but as it turned out, I did not owe them $1,000 and their paperwork was off. But, you know, I had to produce the paperwork and go, oh, by the way, I returned this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Your records were wrong, but I still was trying to grit through that smile. At the end of the day,
grit your teeth.
You know, it's not the person on the line. They're just following.
Exactly. They're doing what they're
following policy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. This has been a really fun, interesting conversation.
Yeah, it's a fascinating conversation. And just for anybody who's listening, if you want to get into the restaurant business, then
don't do it.
I mean, but there are some people out there who want to be like chefs or whatever. And I mean, you know, Mark said, you know, this isn't, you know, something that he intended to do, but it's something that he absolutely loves to do. And so don't give up on your dream just, you know, because it's not what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It could be something different.
Like, we were talking about how we opened this whole thing up, you know, dreams can change.
Absolutely.
It's evolution.
Yeah. So. And the one thing I think everybody should believe in themselves, we all have skills that we don't know.
That is true.
We don't know about. They're in there. You know, I've had teachers in high school and college that just challenged me. Drove me crazy. I had buyers when I was selling things. Mm-hmm. I had buyers that would just challenge me to, and they would drive me crazy. And they're some of the most memorable ones because I got better. You know, iron sharpened or iron what?
Iron sharpens iron.
Thank you. Yeah. So all of a sudden, you're the people that challenge you the most. I had a football coach in high school that would make us, you know, run till we puked. I don't think you can do that anymore. But guess what? You know, just when you think you got nothing left in your tank, guess what? You got a little more.
Yeah.
And whenever you reach a little bit deeper, wow, now you expand what the possibilities for you are. And in this case, yes, I knew a lot about business, but nothing about the restaurant business. But you apply basic principles that you know.
Yeah.
And it's neat. We all have so many skills that sometimes they're just latent. When they get pulled out, it's like, it feels real good to, you know, put one in the W column and go, man, I did this.
Completely. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on. And
Hope to be back sometime. We'll talk more about next time. We'll talk more about pizza.
Definitely.
Hey, sounds like a plan to me. I'm always up to talk about pizza.
Next time we should be eating pizza on the podcast. Yes. How tacky would that be?
Maybe we can do a remote next time from your restaurant. And
that'd be fascinating.
We can all talk, sit around the table.
Yeah, we'll sit around the table, eat some pizza, sit. Do like the people on the radio stations do when they go on site to different places and give out stuff.
That would be our very first on location
podcast. That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Then you could send a secret code word out and go, first person with a code word gets a free pizza or free meal.
Hey, I'm up for that.
Yeah. You'd give the code word. You want the meal, but you'd be sitting there. You don't qualify. No, think about that. That'd be fun.
First person in there with the correct, a trivia question.
First, fifth, and tenth.
Ooh,
okay. Yeah.
Or seventh, eighth, and ninth. Or, you know, we'll do
the whole, you could do the whole, like, 99th caller thing.
Well, if we ever decide to make that happen, we'll make sure you guys are the first people to know. Who knows? You never know. We could totally do that. That'd be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us again today, Mark, for being on the podcast. It was a lot of fun just to hear about kind of some of your experience in the not only in the restaurant world, but just with your incredible life experience. And guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. If you're not following us on social media, you can find us at Right Time Productions on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Go ahead and give us a follow and a subscribe there. If you guys haven't seen it yet, we officially released the first teaser trailer of our first original web series, Young Life. It's been such a blast to build this community and build really kind of a Right Time Productions family around this web show. You know, it's been a blast to, you know, be able to ultimately create a place where we can all learn and grow together. You know, kind of all the things we talk about on this podcast, you know, creating an environment for that and for other people. So that's totally been a blast. We're so excited to share with you guys what we have so far, starting in February of next year. Until next week, make sure to go and chase your unknown. See you guys later.